As we celebrate communion this morning, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. If any portion of Scripture in a brief section encapsulates what we've been studying in the book of Hebrews, it's Ephesians 2:11 and following. Jesus said on the night in which He was betrayed, "This is the new covenant in My blood." The new covenant canceled the old covenant. You say, "Pastor, what's the new covenant?" Well, just take a look at your Bible. It's divided into two sections, isn't it? Basically, the Bible has two sections. The old covenant and the new covenant. Jesus, when He died upon the cross and rose again, canceled the old covenant. You know what? If you want to be an old covenant Christian, you know what the Bible says about that? Paul says, if you want to be under the old covenant, you either do it all or you're under a curse. Now, the law is holy, just, and good, but it was temporary, Paul says, to lead us to our need to know Jesus and His righteous requirements. And the old covenant of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, gone. It pointed to Jesus. It was fulfilled through Jesus. But Christ is the end of the law to everyone who believes. We're under the new covenant. And this talks about it in this passage in Ephesians. And Paul, in verses 11 and 12, talk about the old covenant. When Jesus said, "This is the new covenant," Paul delineates what it was like for us who are Gentiles, apart from the old covenant. When that old covenant was around, what was our condition in 11 through 12? And in 13 and following, Paul sets forth what the new covenant did for us. When Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in My blood," a new priesthood, a change of law occurred, and it is wonderful beyond imagination as to what Jesus did for us. Look at verse 11, the old covenant. "Make a list. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles..." There are only two groups in the Bible, really, Jews and Gentiles. Under the old covenant, that was the way they looked at it. As a matter of fact, we looked at Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, under the old covenant, this is how Gentiles were looked at. The old covenant Gentiles were, in Philippians 3, 2, considered dogs. Uncircumcised. The Philistines. But under the new covenant, Paul said in Philippians 3:3, "We are the true circumcision who worship Jesus Christ in the new covenant and put no glory in the flesh, in human effort." Paul says, "Remember that you formerly, the Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcised by the circumcision." By the way, under the new covenant, now you know from Hebrews in our discussion, it is not physical circumcision, but what is it that matters with God? I've had ladies say to me, "Isn't that a little sexist, Pastor Dave, that under the old covenant it was male-centered like that physical circumcision?" Well, let me tell you something. In the new covenant, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, we're going to find out, and that circumcision is in the, and that means ladies, in the new covenant, circumcision is genderless. Anyone can be circumcised, dedicated to God in heart. "Which is performed in the flesh by human hands. And remember that you were at that time separate from Christ." Under the old covenant? If you were Gentile, separate from Christ. That's the first thing. Separate from the Messiah, because the Messiah was Jewish. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, the chosen nation. Under the old covenant, yes. Under the new covenant, all in Christ. As we found out in the weeks that we've been studying, are sons and daughters of Abraham. Strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now that's your old covenant. You want to be under the old covenant? Under the old covenant, you'd have to become a good Jew. Remember in Acts 15, as we've been looking at this, some came from Judea and said, make all these Gentiles come under the law. And the great delusion was that somebody could keep the law, but Paul told us no one has kept the law, and therefore under the old covenant, Jew and Gentile alike were under a curse. Now look at this under the old covenant. You want to go back to the old covenant? Look what Paul just said in verse 12. Remember that you were at that time under the old covenant, separate from Christ. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You know what happens if a Gentile walked into the Jewish temple in Jerusalem? They killed him. Dangerous place to walk. Strangers to the covenants of promise. You know what covenant is? The Abrahamic covenant. Having no hope and without Messiah, without God in the world. Then look at verse 13 as we celebrate communion this morning. Two of the most important words you'll ever see in the Bible in verse 13. But now. Do you know what that means? When Jesus said on that night in which he was betrayed, this is the new covenant in my blood, but now. Something changed completely. Totally. In God's plan. You see, God planned this. They had the old covenant to bring in Jesus, who could fulfill the law perfectly for us, because we couldn't do it. But now in the new covenant, look, in Christ Jesus. By the way, is this talking about anybody? You need to know Jesus. At Grace Bible, we proclaim Jesus and Him crucified. Messiah Jesus, you who were formerly afar off. What were you far off from? We'll go back to verse 12. What was the list that we just gave you? It said, remember, you were at that time separate, far off from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Do you notice the elite statements here? Separate, excluded in there? Strangers to the covenants of promise. But now in Christ Jesus, you were far off. From what then were you far off? I just read the list. Tell me the list. What? Give me the whole list. You were far off from what? Go back to verse 12. Read that list. Who's got it? Who can tell me the thing, the list that you were separate from? Even the commonwealth of Israel, you're now brought near. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are formerly afar off have been brought near to all of that by the blood of Jesus Christ. You want the old covenant? You like that? Some of you fundamentalists like that eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Huh? I've been in those kind of churches. They like that. Well, get under the whole law. And the person that loves the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is usually the first person that will be toothless in that system. Now, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith here for those of you who may be visiting, but the old covenant's gone. It's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. There's one law under the new covenant. Do you know what that law is under the new covenant? That's it. Love is the fulfilling of the law. You have one question that you ask. Under the new covenant, what would love do? No, what would love do? You want to know what your actions should be? Just ask this. Sister so-and-so just gave me, read me the riot act for something. And then this is hard, but you have to ask yourself, what would love do? You know what love would do? Let it go. Let it go. That's the only thing you need to worry about under the new covenant. What would love do because of what Jesus inaugurated? And He Himself is our peace. Peace with whom? God, and also peace between Jew and Gentile. Watch how this develops. He is our peace who made both groups. What both groups? Jew and Gentile. You want the old covenant? You become a good Jew. You want the new covenant? Doesn't matter in the new covenant. We're one. God is a unifier. He is not a divider in that sense. And broke down the barrier of the dividing wall between what? Jew and Gentile. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity. Now that's a fancy term. Does your translation have enmity? That's it. You know, when you walk around thinking you're better than others, that's Phariseeism, and that's why the Pharisees walked around under the Old Covenant, thought they were better than other people, those fundamentalists. They weren't. And there was enmity, hostility. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity, the law of... By the way, the hostility, notice where Paul says the enmity was centered. Now, I didn't say this, Paul said it. Look at the next, 15. The enmity of the law, of commandments. How do you like that? Contained in ordinances that He might make the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man, the church. The church isn't always referred to as a female. Here Paul calls it the new man, thus establishing peace. And might reconcile them both in one body in God through the cross, having by it put to death the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who are far away. That's what Jesus preaches in the new covenant. Peace with God, unified into one body, and peace to those who were near. For through Jesus, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Did you note that now? You don't need. See these people wearing these costumes? That's why Pastor Dave will never. I don't like to be too high up in the platform because that's a psychological operation designed to make you think that some clergy wearing some jewelry and wearing a fancy hat has some authority more than you do. It is a kingdom of priests that Jesus inaugurated. There is no difference. And that's a psychological game. Even when you wear a suit and tie in the pulpit, there are some of those Protestant guys that try to play that, or with a black robe, a psychological operation that you somehow have to go to him or whatever. You can have access on your own in the new covenant. You don't need no professional clergy. Don't let them do that game on you. Go confess to the priest. Confess your sins to one another. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. Well, I'm stranger and I'm an alien. But you are fellow citizen with the saints. By the way, that means this. The Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints have been unified into one body through the new covenant of Jesus Christ. That's why in Hebrews we looked at the fact that Abraham cannot be completed and cannot receive his promises until the last person in the new covenant has been brought into that fold. They are still waiting until God completes the number. You are fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, having been built upon the apostles and prophets, in whom the whole building fitted together is growing into a holy temple. Who's the temple? Verse 21, who's the temple? We are. There is no such thing as a temple physically, a building. It's a bunch of bricks and mortar. You are. That's what the reality of the new covenant is. In whom together you are also being built together into a dwelling of God through His Spirit. The church is being built, and it's not being built by construction crews coming in, laying a foundation of cement and building bricks and cinder block. It's being built brick by brick, person by person, through the new birth experience of the new covenant being born again. And the key word here is, but now, in verse 13. You want to go back to the old covenant? You like that eye for an eye? You like that? I don't. I'd be the first to go. You know, when Jesus stooped down on the ground, that they brought the woman that had committed adultery. They didn't bring the man, ladies. They brought the woman. That's why you don't like those fundamentalists. What was Jesus writing on the ground? No one knows, but may have been the Ten Commandments, because every last one of those fundamentalists split. And left alone was that woman. And you know what Jesus said? Let's stone you. No, He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's the heart of the Savior who came to save, not to destroy. All of that possible through the new covenant of God's grace that we celebrate this morning at communion. Wonderful summary of our study of the book of Hebrews. But now we're unified under the power of God's Spirit.